Hello, Low Country. This is longtime ESPN commentator Dr. Jerry Punt, inviting you to listen to the Scott Hamilton Show every day right here on 98.9 ESPN Charleston. Because as everyone knows, Scott is a national treasure, even in countries he's never visited. Go figure.
Joining us now on the Say Tama Hotline, it's Andrea Adelson of ESPN. Andrea, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm exhausted looking at this Wake Forest Army box score. Have you really had time to...
It doesn't end, does it?
Well, it doesn't, Andrea, and I'm wondering if you've had time to really absorb it. There are just so many things that keep popping up, such as the fact that Wake Forest only had 8 third down attempts, converted 7 of them. I don't know where this stands in ACC history, but it has to be exceptional no matter what. Hello? We've lost Andrea. We need to effort Andrea back. All right. See, she's blown away also by what happened on the banks of the Hudson River in New York at Army. Wake Forest scored 14 points, 14 points, 21, 21. And Army, see, I didn't think Army had a chance once they got down a couple of touchdowns. I'm like, oh, that offense, it doesn't, you know, it's not built to make comebacks. But they kept doing it. And I know they ultimately lost by 2 touchdowns. But still, they scored 56 points running the football against a Power 5 opponent. And a lot of penalties. 13 penalties between the two teams for 130 yards. Let's effort Andrea. Andrea, are you back?
Yes, you guys just went silent, and I thought it was something I said.
No, never, Andrea. You have carte blanche on the Scott Hamilton Show. Tell me what your impressions are. You look at this stat sheet.
Okay, I'm just going to point the most impressive thing to me out, and my colleague David Hill eloquently put this because I was wondering what the math was, and I'm terrible at math, so I'm glad he did it. 70 points in just 17 minutes, 17 seconds of possession time. That's 1 point for every 14 seconds. That has to be some sort of record, guys, because I just, when you look at the time of possession and how many points they actually scored, forget, I heard you talking about the third down conversions and all that. That type of efficiency is astounding and practically unheard of.
I'll even up the ante. I pointed out 52 total plays in 70 points.
Yep.
That's striking. I mean, I've seen that happen before, but not quite to that degree. That's an 18-point difference. I didn't think I knew Wake Forest could score points. I didn't think they could score this kind of points, and I darn sure didn't think Army could turn in 56 points with that offense.
Yes, it was a wild game. There's no question about that, and I know Wake had a couple of guys on defense who are banged up that may have contributed, but the fact is it is clear that Wake had a game plan going into it that they felt good they'd be able to win every matchup on that secondary, and they did. They won every matchup on that secondary. They made it look like they were playing on air. And that's why they were able to be so efficient, because their receivers were able to get every single ball and turn it basically into touchdown. That's what it felt like. Every time they caught the ball, went in for a score. So this can only help the confidence of this team moving forward. I knew Wake was going to be really good this year. I knew they were going to have a good team. I had to actually convince one of my colleagues not to have Wake finishing with a losing record. I'm like, you better fix that up or you're going to look real silly by the end of the season. So I knew this was going to be a really good team. Dave Clawson felt really good about it. But to sit here and say 7-0, the possibility of being 8-0, headed into the first college football playoff rankings next week, I don't know that any of us would have sat here and said, yeah, Wake definitely is going to be a 7-0 or 8-0 team to start the year.
Tell me if I'm kooky, tell me if I'm off the reservation, but I'm not even concerned about my defense giving up 56 points, given everything that happened. They were out there the whole game.
Yeah.
I'm not worried. I'm not really that worried. Yeah, there'll be a few things here and there, but I'm not concerned.
Right. They're not going to play an offense like that the rest of the season. And you know going into it when you're playing a team like Army that your defense is going to be on the field a lot and that you're probably going to be giving up scores. Now, I'm sure they're not happy with giving up 56 points. But like I said, I think they had a couple of key players on defense who are banged up and injured and missing that game. So I'm sure there'll be some corrections, but you also have to feel good in knowing that that game is a complete anomaly, and you probably won't face a scenario like that the rest of the way in ACC/non-conference North Carolina play.
Joined by Andrea Adelson, ESPN. I'm looking at Wake's schedule now, Andrea, and they've got Duke coming up. So I have to feel 8-0 going into those first college football playoff rankings that you alluded to. Where would you have Wake Forest right now if you were putting together your rankings?
You know, I had a discussion at the dinner table last night with my family. I've got a 13-year-old daughter and a 10-year-old daughter. My 10-year-old is very much into football. She makes picks with me every week, so she really pays attention. And we were talking about Wake Forest, and she was asking me about the AP poll that came out. She wants to know why Wake was number 13 when they were undefeated. That doesn't seem fair. If it was Clemson that was 7-0, they'd be in the top four. So she's asking me all these pointed questions, and I'm like, I feel like you need to go on some of these radio talk shows and put your points out there, because yeah, Clemson would be in the top four if they were 7-0, but the key difference is that Clemson usually plays a top non-conference game at the start of the season that helps out the strength of schedule when it comes to the ACC, and they're a known commodity, right? When you're a program like Wake Forest and you start the season unranked and you have to now start climbing up the rankings and you don't really have a marquee non-conference win at this point, I think it's going to hurt, even though the committee is doing a ranking for the first time this week and isn't going to consider that they started the season unranked. I still think overall the strength of schedule that Wake Forest has, and we know what this selection committee likes to zero in on and focus in on, is the strength of schedule. I don't think it's strong enough for Wake to be in the top four, even the top six at this point. The back end of the schedule, yeah, that'll definitely give Wake Forest a boost to be able to be more impressive in the eyes of the committee. But when you look at who they've beaten so far and how they've beaten some of these teams, the best win would be Virginia, and I expect Virginia to be ranked if they continue winning. I had them ranked in my top 25 this week. Otherwise, you've got a bunch of teams that are basically average right now, and I think that's really going to hurt. And Duke isn't going to do any favors for the strength of schedule either. So my anticipation is they're probably going to be ranked somewhere in the top 12, probably not the top 8, somewhere beyond that.
I'm going to share a couple of thoughts with you, then ask a question. I was a longtime AP voter. I did it for, I think, about 8 years. And I loved doing it. I'd get up every Sunday, I mean, bright and early, go over as much data as I could, then put my poll out there, my ballot, rather. But I think they're dangerous, Andrea, because they set, especially the preseason polls, they set a perception that we have a hard time shaking throughout the entire year. They do. We don't know anything in August, really. I think those polls should come out maybe mid-September, mid-October. Let's say mid-October, early October. The only one that matters is the CFP anyhow. But I'm also going to say this as far as Wake Forest scheduling. I think right now the schedule that Wake Forest has is the product of the prehistoric days of Dave Clawson. They were trying to get wins. Now they've taken the program to another step, another level, rather. They're going to start scheduling sturdier opponents earlier in the year. Brings me to this question. Let's presume that Wake Forest wins the Atlantic Division. Could it be a pseudo play-in game into the playoff if it's against a Pittsburgh who has run the table and keep scoring 40 points a game and maybe makes us forget about that loss to Western Michigan?
Well, it's a great question. I completely agree with you on the poll. I hate the perception that it sets at the beginning of the season, because you're right, we know nothing. Look at the top 10 from the preseason and look at where some of those top 10 teams are right now, starting with Clemson, by the way. So I think that's why the selection committee doesn't come out until rankings don't come out until November, because they want to try and avoid that. But it's hard for me to sit here and say that there's no bias from the humans in that room when it comes to what the rankings look like. And I know what they're going to say about the strength of schedule, which is why I say they're not going to be in the top four, because they're just not going to accept the type of strength of schedule that Wake is going to have up until this point. As for a pseudo playoff play-in game, I think that all depends on what happens with some of the teams that are going to be in the top six, right? We assume that there's going to be two SEC teams. There could potentially be two Big Ten teams. You know, obviously some teams that have a loss, but would be ranked pretty high the way that Alabama is right now. Who knows what's going to happen with Oklahoma? I anticipate those guys are going to lose at some point based on the way that they're playing. What if you've got a one-loss Oregon team that's sitting there with a big non-conference win against Ohio State, which would be better than anything Wake Forest would have on its schedule as a non-conference win? I think it's going to be really hard for both Wake Forest or Pitt to overcome some of the teams and those strengths of schedules that are going to be ranked ahead of them. Pitt losing to Western Michigan is going to be a huge blow for them, I think, in the eyes of the committee, no matter how great that they're playing right now. They're going to get docked for that because, again, let's look at what the non-conference schedule is going to look like for Pitt. And I'm just repeating talking points that the committee has given us over these last 6 or 7 years to be accustomed to their line of thinking and how they usually rank teams. Now, having said all of that, our ESPN FPI, our Football Power Index, which usually is pretty good at giving a snapshot of where things stand, gives Pitt right now a 22% chance of making the playoff if they're able to win out, and Wake Forest is not anywhere close to that. So I think our computers are projecting that at some point Wake is going to have a loss or two down the road. So Pitt right now continues to be the favorite in the ACC, but even a one-loss Pitt team I think is going to have a very hard time getting ranked ahead of some of the teams that are going to be above them because of what the strength of schedule is going to look like.
And that would be the ACC's first time not making the playoff, right?
That's correct.
Hey, and here you go, Andrew. Here's another nugget before we let you go, because I like teaching you stuff because I always learn so much from you. Can you tell me the last unranked, the last national champion that was unranked in the preseason?
It's too early in the morning for me to use my brain like that.
Georgia Tech, 1990. That tells you the power of the preseason poll, Andrea.
Wow. And we just had the ACC Network just had an awesome special about that season for Georgia Tech. So I'm glad you brought that up because that was a really cool piece that we did last week.
Oh, okay. I'll check it out. Is it on ESPN Plus?
Yep. It was on ACC Network.
ACC Network. I will watch it tonight.
Yep.
She's Andrea Adelson of ESPN. Follow her on Twitter at A Adelson ESPN. Andrea, go get some coffee. Let's chat soon.
All right. Thanks for having me again, Scott. Good to talk to you.
You too, Andrea. Appreciate it. It's Andrea Adelson of ESPN.